Lesson 1 in Unit 2, we're on page 35, and it's time to talk about Jesus' blessings. And the first thing that I asked you to do was to pray that the Holy Spirit would enable you to rejoice in the blessings that you receive in Christ. So to rejoice, to feel it, actually, and to celebrate the blessings that you receive in Christ. So I know I prayed this prayer, and I did see experience the answer to this prayer as I worked through this lesson 1. So that's neat to look back now and see. So the first thing that we did was look up the definition for the Greek word blessed. It's the Greek word makarios. And the definition that I have is blessed, fortunate, which I'm surprised to see that word because I usually think of that being related to fate. So it's surprising to me to see that in a Bible dictionary. But blessed, fortunate, happy, usually in the sense of a privileged recipient of divine favor. And also, this is a word used to describe a person characterized by transcendent happiness. And I really love that word transcendent because it just takes it further than a like, oh, I'm so happy, but it is, there's a depth to it. And hopefully as you worked through your lesson, you saw that. What else? Okay, that's enough of that. So the definition there of blessed, even if all they see is happy, the point that we're going to get out of this lesson is that Jesus is not talking about a superficial happiness. So just because this is not the word joy, well, skip that because I know I mentioned it later. So why does Jesus say that the people he describes are happy? So what we want to do is go through the fill in the blanks because we considered what we experience when we follow Jesus as our Savior and King. I hope that this was not hard for anybody note the phrase following for. But blessed or happy because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And blessed and happy because they will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be filled. They will be shown mercy. They will see God. They will be called the sons of God. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. And their reward in heaven is great. And you could add that this is because they were persecuted like the prophets before them. So we want to go over those, and you can decide whether you want to go around the room or just have someone read out the, how, kind of like I just did. And then ask the question, how would you describe the emotional and spiritual state of one who is experiencing all of the above? And I did get a thesaurus out, which was really fun because it just, the first word that came to my mind was ecstatic. And so of my own thoughts, I was like amazed, joyfully overwhelmed. But when I got a thesaurus out, just the words were great and it was exciting to me to see the words. Delirious, elated, euphoric, overjoyed, floating, thrilled, flying high, upbeat, tickled pink. So that was adding to my own appreciation and understanding of these blessings that are overwhelming. They are incredible blessings. So, of course, we're going to be happy. And in the box, just that first sentence says, the word makarios describes the nearly incomprehensible happiness of those who participate in the kingdom announced by Jesus. So then if we go to the next paragraph. True, wonderful, deep, satisfying happiness is possible if we are the people described in these verses. And yes, what we receive is what is described, but there is a condition. What type of people are we that then we receive something? I do want to highlight in the middle of that paragraph, if we tried to produce the characteristics described in the Beatitudes, we'd be working in our own strength to achieve salvation. So these statements describe the characteristics and behaviors of one who has received new life in Christ and is filled with a new nature. So what we see in the Beatitudes is not something that we are working to perform, but because of trusting in Christ, this is a description of our perspective, our behavior, our dependence, our very nature and being in relationship to God. So, the next question is, how do the Beatitudes describe one who is following Jesus as her Savior and King? So now we're looking at the other part of those verses, the characteristics that are described. And I actually wrote this out in first person. I am poor in spirit, verse 3, mourning, verse 4, gentle, verse 5, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, 6, merciful, verse 7, pure in heart, verse 8, peacemaker, verse 9, persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's the reason I should be persecuted, and it also made me think, you know, I know I'm not persecuted, but I want to be willing to be persecuted, and that's a scary thing to say, I admit it, but, okay, also, verse 11, insulted, persecuted, slandered, because of Jesus. Not, I don't want it to be because of my own stupid behavior. And then from verse 12, rejoicing and glad. Okay, the first four characteristics pertain to our relationship with God, and the next five pertain to our relationship with man. Now we're going to just focus for the rest of this lesson on blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you looked up the definition for the word poor. It's the Greek word ptokos. And I really like that it's from this verb meaning to crouch. That just gives me the visual image. And to be poor is to be a beggar, a pauper, to have deep poverty, spiritual destitution, and dependent on others for support. It's really interesting. Something I read said that this person is so poor that they can't do any work for themselves. They can't take care of themselves at all. They can't help themselves. They can't even do any work. We're going to skip the top of page 37, just keeping in mind that we have two more lessons to go. But if we come to what is requested in Psalm 40, verse 17, where the same word is used, that just helps us think of the poor recognizing their need. So to be poor in spirit is to realize. Psalm 40, 17, I am afflicted and needy. The Lord thinks of me. And then another version says, let the Lord be mindful of me. And then there's a cry for help and deliverance and do not delay. And depending on the version that you look at, that one's not as clear with the request that's being made. So I've tried to talk through how you would understand this as a request. Okay. Based on the Greek and Hebrew definitions and the verses above, how would you explain the phrase poor in spirit? So let's ask that and invite ladies to share and add to their explanation. This doesn't have to be just one person with one answer. It's a person suffering, seeking, needing help, and a person in dire straits, dependent on someone else to care for them, not just materially, but emotionally, spiritually. And there's a hopelessness about the situation, but there's a desire for hope. There's a desire for help. The last thing is, are you among the poor in spirit? How would you describe this in your own life? So hopefully through this lesson, we're getting the understanding that this doesn't mean that you are depressed and crying about everything, but you recognize that you can't do anything for yourself. You are a needy person. And my answer is that, I mean, I realize that I am poor in spirit, but I forget it sometimes, and I think I get stuff from others, or I can take care of myself. But I do truly know that without Christ, apart from Christ, I am nothing. John 15:5. My righteousness in my own strength is just filthy rags. And I thought of Galatians 2:20 also, that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not I who live, it's Christ in me. So I do understand and believe that I am nothing and I cannot take care of myself. I need Jesus, and that's where we are now. So the last thing on that page, you could just kind of finish this lesson by summarizing. Note the incredible paradox that Jesus presents. Being poor in spirit does not mean being depressed. Recognizing the depravity of our condition and our helplessness without the help of Christ leads to the ultimate gain of heaven and great happiness. Yay!